thank you, Mr. Leder, for that political framing of the event. And thank you very much to Bernd Scherer for the introduction, which actually really touched upon all of the various different topics that we're going to be looking at together today. And I'm very grateful that we got this introduction. And I'm very delighted that Bernd Scherer invited us to participate. Of course, a whole host of topics are involved here that are linked with the Bauhaus project that we started working on a few years ago with Philip Oswald and others, looking at problematic issues such as, for example, the universalism issue, the question of what exactly is the pendant to the Bauhaus nowadays. There was the event From Bauhaus to Silicon Valley that was held here in the House of World Culture. Now, perhaps I could just pick up on one idea. And my colleague, Christian Hiller, with whom we curated the event together, will say a few words. Alessandra Niemann as well. After I've spoken, Christian Hiller will say a few words as to the structure and the panels and the various different participants. I'd just like to float one idea and build on something that Mr. Lederer and Bernd Scherer have both touched upon. The question as to how political the Bauhaus is. The fact that we address this question at all demonstrates the whole dilemma of the sub-complex debate that we're currently entangled in. It's a world that was so politicized. The world 100 years ago was enormously politicized when the Bauhaus came into being in the aftermath of the November Revolution. So how could it be so apolitical in that context? And how can it be apolitical in the current context that we find ourselves in? But as Mr. Lederer has pointed out, perhaps it's important to recall this question is by no means rhetorical. On Tuesday this week, we organized an Arch Plus salon to commemorate the murder of Karl Liebknecht and Rosa Luxemburg 100 years ago. We want to talk about the revolutionary monument of Mies van der Rohe and its political implications. In this context, architectural historian Simona Hein recalled that the whole Bauhaus project could only be seen as an act of sublimation of the failed revolution. If the political revolution failed, then revolutionizing life itself must be the way to move forward. So that means a different kind of life, a different kind of city, a different kind of politics needs to be conceived. That per se is an eminently political act, but it would be an oversimplification to say this political act is something that's just about architects and artists. If we project our approach onto those who want to save the world, and this focus on the experts has depoliticized the debate, and that means that we need to take a different approach. We need to look at the policies of the Bauhaus and modernity as a whole and its political thrust. So what then was the key political concern of the Bauhaus and modernity in general? Perhaps I can echo what Andreas Reckwitz has said. It lay here, political played the role of formulating and shaping the general aspect of the world. That was part of the self-image of classical modernity, and that means the establishment of a prescriptive ideal for progress across society as a whole, designing and shaping what was generally shared and universal. That's the only way that you can understand the aesthetics of modernity as an expression of a political program, even if ultimately it became a style and a global product. And nowadays, the new right wing, when they denounce modernity as a whole as egalitarian, when they call for cultural struggle against it, to promote reconstruction. Instead, it's not just a question of aesthetic preferences, but it has a metapolitical twist to it too. The modern ideal of uniformity is not something, and equality is not something that has faced a crisis since the emergence of right-wing populism. Instead, as Rekvitz has said, this crisis of generality is a hallmark of postmodernity, whereas modernity, politically and aesthetically, in a sense, is about doing universality. Today, we're looking at doing singularity. We live in a society of singularities, to cite the title of his books. In the light of the crisis of this universality, working on universal principles, generally binding standards, and shared public goods is further something that is called for. Once again, these were the topics that we decided to focus on, well aware that they are enormously contradictory. We looked at this in the context of the Project Bauhaus 2 years ago in this very venue, and you can find a brochure on this. We're looking today at doing in common, in other words, a commoning. That means jointly creating something and creating a joint community as well. That is the only way that society can really participate in these policies of design. And that's the only way the policy of design can be reactivated in emancipatory sin as a counterweight to regressive and reactionary forces that can be found in architecture and urban planning at Pleasant as well. And I'd like to wind up at this point and hand over to my colleague Christian Hiller, who's going to present this afternoon's event, this evening's event. I'd like to conclude by thanking Bernd Scherer and his team for their invitation to participate. This whole event came into being at very short notice, but I think that we've got a fantastic programme, and many people have shown an interest and are here today. I'm delighted to see that. So, go ahead, Mr. Hiller.